So it's recording. And you put this right up here. And then we hopefully... God, I'll flip out. Yeah, it's recording. Oh, the joys of being me. Yep.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, so I would like to thank everyone and welcome you to the Barberton Building and Zoning Board of Appeals. This is a regular scheduled meeting that is held on, that is being held on Tuesday, July 21st, 2026. We are going to go ahead and call the meeting to order and swear in any individuals that will be addressing the board this evening. So if you plan on speaking on your own behalf or on behalf of any other application tonight, I would ask you to please rise at this time. So I'm going to work from my left to my right, front to back, okay? So if you can... Sir, please raise your right hand and state your name.
Roy Guy.
Do you swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth, if so say I do?
I do.
You may be seated, sir. State your name.
Gary Deffinger.
Do you swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, if so say I do?
I do.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Jeff Stevenson.
Do you swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, if so say I do?
I do.
Thank you.
Melissa Nagler.
Do you swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, if so say I do?
I do.
Thank you.
Anthony Taver.
Do you swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, so say I do?
I do.
Okay, thank you. Sir in the green suit in the middle.
Charles Tyler Sr.
Do you swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, so say I do?
I do.
Okay, you may be seated.
David Heideck.
Do you swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, so say I do?
I do.
Okay, thank you. State your name.
John Elsie.
Do you swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, so say I do?
I do.
Thank you, you may be seated.
Larry Janko.
Do you swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, if so say I do?
I do.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Brian Hastings.
Do you swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, if so say I do?
I do.
Thank you. You may be seated, sir.
Kevin Madden.
Do you swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, if so say I do?
I do.
Thank you.
Jim Miller.
Okay. Do you swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, if so say I do?
I do.
Thank you. You may be seated. Ma'am?
Robin Harvey.
Do you swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, if so say I do?
Thank you.
You may be seated.
Nicholas Schaefer.
Do you swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, if so say I do?
I do.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Michael Johnson.
Do you swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, if so say I do?
I do.
All right. Thank you. You may be seated. Okay. Moving on. Clerk, can you please call roll?
Todd Shreve.
Here.
James Haskell.
Here.
Antoinette James Carter.
Here.
Chad Klein. Terry Abbott.
I'm here.
Aaron Smith.
Here.
Emily Beck.
Here.
Okay. So tonight we do have a quorum. So this will be a good meeting. Next order of business is the approval of the minutes for June 16, 2026. Did everybody get a chance to review that? Are there any changes to note? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the meeting of June 16, 2026. Yes, sir, Mr. Haskell?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as presented for the June 16th meeting.
So motion was made by Mr. Haskell to move to approve the minutes. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Smith. So motion was made by Mr. Haskell, seconded by Mr. Smith. Are there any final remarks? Hearing none. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Minutes are approved. Next up is our old business. So there was an applicant that had a case that had been being held in abeyance for several months while she was waiting on probate court, I believe, probate or something along those lines. It finally got moved through. She was able to get the utilities turned on, and Matt abated that just the other day. So that one is done, and she's working on properly selling the house and moving forward with that. So then we're on to the hearings tonight. So we have six hearings tonight. The first hearing, hearing A, applicant is John Elsey from GBC Design on behalf of Mr. Larry Jenko. The location is 183 through 189 15th Street Northwest, Barberton, Ohio. Parcel number is 01-00996. And they are appealing an order to repair or demolish that was dated in October 14th, 2025. That appeal was held in abeyance at the December 16th meeting until today's meeting. So, Mr. Elsey, please explain the progress and the continuation of the appeal.
Does that need to be higher for everybody, or is that okay? You have the small copy, so I need to be able to point to it. Thank you, and thank you again for allowing us to come before you. As mentioned, my name is John Elsey. I'm an architect with GBC Design, 565 White Pond, Akron, Ohio, and I'm here representing We Incorporated, but Larry Jenko is the owner. What we're talking about is the school at 15th Street. Larry has bought that whole campus that was the church, the school, the nunnery, the rectory, the parish, you know, all of it. Owns that block, has made some improvements to the sidewalks, etc. Has been working on the nunnery, which we had come before your board before. To turn those into apartments, and kind of ran into a snag with sprinklers. Because not having enough water pressure, I think that's maybe getting resolved now that maybe the water has been improved on Worcester. I think we're looking to get new sprinkler test, flow test to determine how to get that moved forward. We'll say that's kind of been an ongoing project. Recently had to update a permit with the building official just because of lack of time that's been done on it, but I think inspections are up to date. And I only bring that up just to give you a history because it came up at the other meeting. We had come before you before because Larry owns the school building, which is vacant. Prior to December, I think it was unknown that he had to register it as a vacant building, which we did. Basically, had been kind of told that, you know, we need to tear the building down, and Larry sees it as something that he can renovate. And partially, I think we shared that his father had been the mason on the original building and, wants to try to keep this building based on that. we're kind of limited with regards to what it could be used for. Obviously, we looked into, it was a school, so it could be used as a school, and we've done other charter schools in Akron, but that person wasn't necessarily interested in. At this point, it's still an option, but we've decided to pursue elsewise. It's basically zoned residential, and obviously, you know, you could tear down and maybe put in some single-family houses, but kind of had a conversation with planning as to whether, again, possibly an apartment-type situation would be presentable, and that's kind of where we're headed. This would be different than the nunnery, because with the nunnery, if you're more than, I call it the nunnery, but that apartment building, because you're more than four units, it has to be sprinkled. And that's because they're on top of each other. They're multiple floors. So the idea is that, you know, obviously you're protecting the residents. You can be, we're looking at this more as a townhouse type situation, to where if they're side by side and you don't have an apartment above you or below you, yes, it's commercial. Yes, it needs to have fire separation, but would not have to be a sprinkler. And that's kind of how, like, Redwood Apartments builds all their apartments without sprinklers, because they're more than four units, but they have rated walls, and then they have firewalls every so often. So that's our intent, is to do vertical. And the other reason is because we're also in a partial flood zone, and you can't really have living space on the first floor. So we're proposing to look at maybe the first floor being a garage, kind of basement type thing, going upstairs in the classroom to create either a one bedroom, a studio, or a two bedroom apartment. So we asked for time because we needed to go measure the building. We've been through the building. We've done a basically good set of as-built drawings and have done some code research. I will just give you a quick overview of what we're doing and answer any questions that you might have. As you can tell, this is the existing layout. This would be 15th, and this is the south. That's the main entrance. I want to make sure that we're getting recorded here. And this would be the lower level. So there's some classrooms, but this area here that's big is actually even lower, and we know that that floods a lot. It was either a cafeteria, it was like a cafeteria gymnasium, and we're proposing to actually remove this back portion here that's a one-story and fill that up to the level of the other classrooms, because that has been an issue. When we get a big flood, that does fill with water. You can actually see a water line in that location. This is of more of the second floor. This doesn't have a second floor over top of it. This other gym, kitchen type area, but that's basically the layout of the classrooms. Basically, this was the original building. We feel that this was added on because this is newer construction. We feel that this is the older. And I know if you look at the southeast corner, it kind of looks like it's sunk or whatever. Well, that actually happened during construction, and they fixed it during construction back in the 50s. It hasn't really moved since then. They kind of left the floors on that, and this upper corner does slope a little bit, but that was part of construction. I think they got some bad soil, but they stabilized it actually in construction, and it hasn't moved since. So these are the overall plans. If I'm not mistaken, the building is about, first floor is about 17,000, the second floor is about 7,000, so the total building is about 24,000, but we would be removing some of that as part of the alteration. This is just an enlargement of that lower level. These are the existing elevations. So the intent was to divide these as some of the natural walls, and the idea is that you have to have individual entrances also. You can't have a common entrance. So to be able to not to sprinkle, they need to have their own way in and out and not through a common hallway. And they need to be separated vertically and not have anybody over top of them. So the intent was then to cut some garages in there, get your garage, get you a lower level that could be not necessarily living, but could be a basement, some storage, maybe mechanicals. And then upstairs, to the south, we think that because we're corners there, that we should be able to get some two bedrooms. That would be, I can't read the page. I'm at page 101. If you look at the south end on those corner buildings, we're hoping to be able to get some two-bedroom apartments there, and then maybe some one-bedrooms. We also feel that if these get too big, we did an alternate, these are enlargements, just to give you some study of that. But we also did a study as to whether or not we could divide one of the bays into studio apartments. Still have a garage on the first floor, still have steps up, still have more of a studio type apartment that might be a mix at that point. And then this is some overall elevations. Obviously, you know, things need new windows, some new doors, tuck pointed, you know, power washed. We feel that the original brick could be cleaned up. So this is like where we were actually adding some garage doors and maybe some eyebrows over there or whatever, some shed roofs to kind of create some interest and entrance type thing. But everybody would have their own entrance on the main floor, go up steps to that second floor. You would not get to other apartments like a hallway or anything like that. It would be, you know, more of a townhouse type situation. That's kind of an overview. So we've spent a lot of time developing the south corner. I think that's it. I think that the other thing, if I was to look at this overall plan, and I apologize, kind of crumbling here a little bit, but even in this existing area, we feel there's a potential of even maybe a couple units here that could be used to maybe make this old gymnasium a little bit smaller. There is actually, in the existing building, there's kind of like a stage and a kitchen and some back of house items here. And we would like to maybe keep that as maybe like a community room, not to the public, but maybe for the campus, that if somebody at the church needed a function, that they could use that for a dinner or something like that. Somebody in the apartments, if they wanted to rent it for a birthday party or something like that. We're not looking to become like a banquet hall business, but that it could be a common room or party room at that point. But there is the potential, there's some height here that we could still put a couple apartments to maybe reduce the size of that and maybe get three more apartments that would actually fit under that. And that might mean some partial either adding on to this space or actually removing it and using the height that's in the gym now. So I don't know, that kind of gives us a recap of what we were thinking, and I would be glad to answer any questions.
All right. Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else that would like to speak on behalf of this? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and close the public portion of this hearing. Please remain at the microphone, sure. And I will entertain questions from the board. So this time, is there any questions or discussion from the board? Yes, Mr. Haskell.
Okay, so this is where you got us to today. So what's your plan and timeline moving forward?
Well, I guess we're looking for approval for the concept so that we could go into working drawings and maybe look at probably a spring construction at the earliest. I don't think there's any way that we would be able to get through all the drawings and approvals until maybe a next year construction at the earliest.
Ms. Carr, from a planning standpoint, is there any hang-ups as far as development code, zoning?
Well, so, I mean, I feel like there's two things here for this particular case. One, you know, he's asking for more time to make the repairs, and then two, there'd be a variance to allow for the four-plus units. But this board, again, allowed that to happen in the building previously. So if passed tonight, we could work with him to make sure the codes are met.
Mr. Alsey, so I don't believe, so you're not in front of us tonight, though, requesting a variance. You're requesting more time on the letter to repair or demolish, correct? That is the appeal that's in front of us.
Well, I guess that is true. However, you know, repair, I guess we're kind of looking at it as a change of use. If there's something that needs to be, you know, if there's something that needs to be repaired, that's a life safety, could be addressed ahead of time. But the intent is, you know, to make the building viable. So I don't know what if I'm asking for time or for a variance at that point.
Yes, Mr. Hatch.
So I'm the impression that's what we were actually looking at was the continuation of the time to develop their plan. They originally asked for 730 days to prepare the drawings and mark the building for approved use for zoning.
I'd just like to speak to that. A variance would be a completely different application. Monetarily as well as the purpose. So you could hold it in abeyance until they make direct application for a variance. I do have a question about your proposed plan. The original building was built with that large center hallway and stairway.
Correct.
Have you looked into the engineering of how you would head off the floor system?
Yeah.
For the garage level?
Yeah, to a point. We're actually coming into the hallway with our stairway, so some of that hallway will be removed, and then we'll have to build the separation.
So head off the original load-bearing walls where they were supporting floor system?
Correct.
Or if they weren't?
Yeah, we would engineer either with steel. It'd probably be a steel type of a situation. We haven't sized them yet. We're not to that point. But yes,
you're changing that from the two walls to the center hall, a center wall system.
The two walls will stay. We're getting rid of the hall because part of that, and we're actually adding a wall in the middle of the hallway to give half of the hall to one and half the hall to the other. That middle wall will be rated, but I doubt it may or may not actually become load-bearing. It might be a rated separation wall. I don't know that I've looked at it close enough to say that wall is going to be any bearing. If anything, it probably will be partially bearing. Then the other wall that's between the hallway and the classrooms, we're trying to maintain as much as possible, but maybe with some openings to get to that hallway, because we're using that for bathroom, we're using that for stairwell.
So I don't know if that is. To this point, you feel it's a practical?
Yes.
Application that you would be able to
correct.
Achieve this plan.
Right. And I say that, and not to brag on Larry, but we have done that in a lot of buildings, commercially and residentially.
So to answer your question, though, tonight you would have to either give them more time to apply for the actual variance and get a more viable plan.
And that would be a variance for the use through planning at that point. Does that come back to this board or to a different board?
It would. So you would just, you know, apply through planning like you did before, right? We would deny you based upon the use, and then you would bring your use back to this group.
And I'm sure the application's due tomorrow, which isn't going to happen for me, so. Correct.
So time frame-wise, yeah.
There's no way that I can make an application tomorrow. I don't have the ability to.
Yes, Greg.
I've had a problem with that whole site for a while. regarding it all being one site, and there's different uses going on. This is the first time I heard you use the term campus. So I think along with your variance application, you should address that on how you can create a more viable campus and separate that individual home that is used as a rental property, the church proper, the apartments. This use, what you're proposing here, is not going to present a parking issue because it's going to be self-contained on what you're planning. But you still have the issue of where, you know, what parking is for the apartment building.
Understood.
And what parking you propose for the for that venue. That, to my knowledge, I don't know whether it's been rented as a venue at this point, but it brings in the question of parking for that whenever there's events.
Yeah. So it's my understanding, and maybe Larry can. There's nothing been rented with regards to the existing school building, unless you're talking about the church, because I think...
I'm talking about the church specifically.
Okay.
It was presented to me by Mr. Jenko that it was going to be used as an entertainment venue in some manner, which presents parking issues.
Understood. And I know that we've had this discussion, and, you know, if this is the appropriate time to look at that, we can take that as part of the application.
And if possible, separating a residential home as a separate parcel, which would have to be done according to the current.
Yeah, I think the only thing that is just because, yes, you could maybe separate parcels, but you're probably looking at a ton of easements with regards to utilities, you know, cross easements, driveway easements, et cetera, et cetera. So it's going to be it'll be a messy plat at that point.
Director Carr, do you have an issue with the use that he's presenting?
I do not. So if you want, I can read the current code, what they're classified as is for this one, but it's going to be kind of difficult because you started one process under the old code.
Yep.
Right, and then this one goes into effect. So it's going to be kind of a different situation. But as this sits right now, this parcel is zoned traditional residential. And the things that are permitted by use are general utility, general right-of-way, parks, accessory, temporary, civic and institutional, and single-unit residential. So in the glossary of terms, we could go through what civic institutional means. So the fact that they want to do a type of single unit residential, I mean, I'm okay with that. It's just how do we get there?
Understood.
Yes, Mr. Hayman.
Does this require the passage through the safety, fire protection, and that?
So with
we're probably early in that.
Yeah, so I'm sure, I mean, with any commercial structure, he's going to have to meet fire code, but I mean, that's something that they'll do. I mean, he's here today just to say, hey, is this a viable option? Can we continue moving forward with, you know, drawing this up and making this happen? I mean, it sounds like, you know, it's zoned pretty proper. It sounds like, you know, with time, given time, he's going to be able to put together a plan that's going to be acceptable. So it's just a matter of now making sure that we give them the opportunity to show us what they can do. I mean, I think that that's, I mean, to summarize, that's all he's asking for.
Yeah.
Other questions?
Yeah, I mean, the fire department is going to review any and all plans before, you know, he's going to start construction.
So. Yeah, even if plan review goes to a different jurisdiction, the local fire still has, we give drawings to the local fire department.
Any other questions, concerns, discussion? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion. Yes, Mr. Haskell.
I'd like to make a motion to hold this in advance.
going to be the October 20th, 2026 meeting. So motion was made to hold an advance until October 20th, 2026. Do I have a second?
A second.
Okay, seconded by Ms. James Carter. Are there any final remarks? I guess I'm going to ask Mr. Ellis, you'll be able to work far enough ahead in this project.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm going to have two paths of construction and variance. I actually have two paths. I need the use variance and then also the construction drawings.
Are there any other remarks, questions? Okay, hearing none. Clerk, please call roll for the motion to hold in advance.
Terry Advent?
Yes.
Aaron Smith?
Yes.
Antoinette James Carter?
Yes.
James Haskell?
Yes.
Okay, so the advance is unanimous.
Thank you.
Yep, we will see you in October I'm sure we'll see you before. Because
we'll see you before.
So we can get that variant.
We're going on the creek all right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, sir. Moving on to hearing B. Hearing B, applicant is Expo Properties LLC, Mr. Anthony Jaber. And he is being represented by, is David Augur?
David's not here, but Jeff is
okay.
Here. David's on vacation.
Okay, so Jeff, and that is Jeff
Stevenson.
Okay. And being represented by Mr. Jeff Stevenson, Campbell Construction. The location is 546 Snyder Avenue. They are here requesting relief from standards for vehicle refueling station section 1040.16C, 100-foot setback from fuel tank to residential lot, requesting reduction of the setback from 100 feet to 50 feet. This appeal was held in abeyance until July 21st. I believe that was because that we lacked, we had a quorum, but we lacked enough of a board to hear. So go ahead and explain your appeal or your variance request in detail, please.
Okay, again, my name is Jeff Stevenson. Thank you all for being here this evening. Mr. Chambers owned the property, I think, for 9 years with the original intent of always putting a fueling station and convenience store on this property. But obviously, we know since that time, the zoning code has changed recently here. So what wouldn't have required a 100-foot setback, but the new zoning code does require a 100-foot setback from residential properties for fuel dispensing. So if we were to look at this drawing now, the only place that they could have fuel dispensing is in this small corner in pink, if we recognize both setbacks from the east and west, 100 foot both ways. So that's the only place, which basically makes it unviable to do anything there. But what the request is to reduce that to 50 foot on the east and west sides, which then in blue would obviously allow the fuel dispensing to fall within that blue crosshatch section. So that's basically what we're asking for, is to go from 100 foot to a 50 foot variance or setback.
Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on the matter of this?
Hi, my name's Melissa. I just wanted to say the reason why it was last time we didn't hear it was actually tabled. We went in June in front for the conditional use, which was approved by the police, the fire, and I believe claiming all with certain conditions, which we're more than willing to meet. This is the last leg that we're trying to complete so we can move forward on the project. We're happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Anybody else like to speak on behalf of this hearing?
My name is Anthony. I just want to say thank you for planning for you, Mr. Stark and Emily, for all your hard work and helping us direct. We're trying to do a great thing for the city, and we're almost there. We've met everything that we were asked. We're just asking for some help with this variance. So I appreciate your time.
Are there any others who are sworn in and would like to?
Southside for 18 years. I drive by this parcel 6 to 7 times a week for the last 10 years easy. It'd be nice to see something usable go there other than a crumbling building. I know when Parker leased it for the Harvey Township, Parker did a fantastic job. He kept it clean. They keep the property up as well as they could, but if you take a look at their station on Norton Avenue, it's always clean. The property is always well maintained. I have full faith that they would beautify that corner just the same and add a little bit of life to it. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any others who would like to?
Hi, I'm Brian Hastings. I also live within, I could throw a rock in the place almost. And it's been several things. I believe it was a drive-through years ago. Then it was the detail that sat empty. It was a detail shop for a while. And when it's not doing nothing, it's just sitting there crumbling away. You know, somebody will come along with it. Seems to me like it's just such a small thing as this to have it, you know, turn into something else. I mean, why not? These gentlemen have had, you know, they have another place, and it's every time I've ever been there, it's pristine, so I don't see why they do any different with this. But,
thank you. Are there any others that are sworn in that would like to speak on this matter? Please step forward, sir. Sworn in that would like to speak on this matter. Okay, I am now going to close the public portion and we will entertain questions or discussion from the board. So do I have any questions or discussion? Yes, Mr. Aben.
Well, how many pumps are you planning on putting in there?
We're looking to put in 4.
Is that normal standard for that area? Is there a good reason why there was limitations?
Well, I'll speak to that, if that's okay.
Yeah, Ms. Carr, go ahead.
So, Mr. Jaber and his team, they did go to planning commission last month to get approval through the conditional use permit process for the gas station. Before you have the staff report that was presented to planning commission, which is the reason they voted the way that they did. Included in that packet, you're going to see the application from Mr. Jaber. There's also a stack, there's a document in there that lists every single gas station that is located in the corridor district, which is what Mr. Jaber property is zoned. So you'll be able to see that the parcels include, you know, roughly 4 or 5 dispensers. You've got 6 dispensers on site. So, I mean, it is very similar to what he's doing. Included in that packet, there are site plans that were presented at Planning Commission. As we go through it, and then there was a letter from Chief Morver, and I believe the fire department, but you also received a copy of the approved minutes that were presented at Planning Commission. And I'm just going to read to you their approval and what that consisted of. Number one, the motion to conditionally approve based on the findings of fact. They must meet all planning, building, fire, utilities, and engineering standards as outlined in the code. Failure to comply with any provisions outlined will result in immediate revocation or revocation of the conditional use permit. Occupant must meet the request of the local police department and ODOT, and do a traffic, not obstruct city, but conform to the traffic, and then must also meet local fire requirements, and then must go before the BZBA to get the approval for the setback requirements. So they are required to work with building, planning, police, safety to make sure that the site meets all the standards.
But it says it has requirements to be met, so they're already met.
So that's going to be done through the site plan. They will need, once this approval for the variance for the, from the 100 feet to the 50 feet are approved, we will work with Mr. Jaber, with police, fire, building, to do the site plan, to make sure everything's correct. From this point forward, though, after approval tonight, everything will be approved in-house.
And how many 100-pound tanks will it be put in?
There's two tanks.
How big?
8,500 to 8,500. It'll all be with the state marshal, fire marshal, and the bus for code, certainly will be completely bus for code, which will stay
alive. You'll have one diesel?
I'm sorry?
You'll have one diesel tank?
Yes, sir. Well, the diesel, the 8,500 is split into three tanks now.
Okay.
So, we have partial.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
What safety concerns do you have from 50 to 100 feet?
That's just part of zoning. I don't know that there really are. I mean, again, he's going to be required to meet all of the safety, you know, codes and stipulations and stuff in order to build. So all he is in front of us for is to reduce that 100 to 50. And then once that happens, he still has to comply with, like he was saying, Buster, fire marshal, police, with the traffic and the intersection. So, but this is the first step in order to make it a viable project.
Has there been a traffic study in that area? It looks like a pretty tight area. The hill, traffic light, and
so we've not had a traffic study, but the police and their recommendation gave us a traffic flow to follow, or the recommendation of a study if we chose not to follow their recommendation.
So the police asked us to do it flow just a certain way, and we agreed to that. Yep. To make the traffic.
As we move forward, as we get progress, and we work with Stacy and the building and planning departments, we're more than happy to modify things and pivot as we need to.
Because this would also not require this traffic, the large tankers coming in to load up.
If I may, also, the tankers now are not like the old longer ones. They're like smaller. You can have smaller deliveries. Instead of the 18,000 gallon delivery, you can get 6,000 gallon delivery.
And one of the things.
That's smaller tankers.
As I said, one of the things the fire department asked us for was exactly that, the flow of delivery, which is what we plan on working with them on to ensure that it's smooth.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Castle.
Have you approached Buster yet? I'm sorry, you didn't
even go. Buster's all through the fire. Everything is legit with our plans. Well, we have to get. Before we submit them plans, you have to get this
city approval before we go through them. Once we get this approval, we'll be able to start making the next steps. As you see, as we work with the local resources, the police and the fire in the building, and once we have approval from here, we can then go with the county and the state and start working with them on studies and underground placements and things like that. We're still on the purpose, of course.
Yes,
can you show me exactly where it's located? Like on this map?
The gas station?
Yes. Can you show me exactly so I can have a better understanding? Thank you.
Here's the gas station.
Traffic flows.
canopy that was out there, hanging out here. This is what the police had asked, but this wasn't the original plan. This was slightly changed.
Could I see the new traffic report?
Sure.
And that's according to the fire?
Police.
So are they limiting the entity?
So the police had asked for two-way traffic off of Snyder, right way in, right way out on 619.
Yeah, that's basically what I had checked.
Are they widening the roads? Are they widening Snyder?
No, just the entrance.
Yes. Yes, great.
The one up here delivers at a certain time. You know, typically it's got people parked, but there's a limit to capacity for the truck to come. Where are you proposing the tank?
Well, they're the smaller trucks, and we propose them to come off of Snyder like the police has requested, and then do the delivery. But again, we are more than happy to adjust it.
It's an hour and a half long, 18-wheelers for the smaller trucks.
Where would the inlets be?
They can come in either way, wherever Buster wants.
So they, Buster would be where the tank?
Yes, absolutely. It's all Buster, it's all...
Yeah, which is totally out of even the building company. Buster determines anything.
Yeah, for anything underground. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Can we take a peek at that?
Absolutely.
I'm good.
Yeah, I saw the...
Here's the presentation dispenser.
You would be able to turn it on.
Well, we're proposing 50.
Right. No.
Yeah.
It affects this house.
Yes. I'm not one of the questions.
I'll show you the paper that we have.
Yes, Ms. Schmidt.
A question to you. So, I want to assume, but I just want to make sure. We did send out the notices that we're supposed to that they were going to be here at the meeting, and we don't have anyone that wrote any letters or that came in to say they disagree, right?
I can actually answer that. We did have a phone call
from
a neighbor. It was a neighboring business, and they just asked for me to explain what they were asking for, and I explained it to them, and they said, oh, okay. Well, that's fine. They were concerned about a resident that had lived there for a long time behind there, but that resident never actually contacted. I gave all the contact information, email, phone number, everything, and they did not contact us, and all the letters were sent out.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Comments? Discussion?
If I may?
Yes, sir.
We spoke to a lot of residents.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to make that very clear to everybody that we've had people say they want it, and no one said they didn't want it.
Just wanted to get you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right, one last time. Any questions, comments, discussion? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion. Mr. Smith.
Motion to approve the variance for the setback to 50 feet from 100.
So Mr. Smith made a motion to approve the variance of reducing the setback from 100 to 50 feet. Do I have a second? Mr. Haskell?
Yes, sir. I have a second.
So motion was made by Mr. Smith to approve the variance, seconded by Mr. Haskell. Are there any final remarks? Clerk, please call roll.
Terry Advent.
Yes.
Aaron Smith.
It's Avant.
Oh, sorry. I apologize. Terry Avant.
Yes.
Aaron Smith.
Yes.
Antoinette James Carter.
Yes.
James Haskell.
Yes.
So the approval of the variance was unanimous. Thank you for presenting.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys all for your time. Thank you so much.
Okay, moving on to hearing C. Hearing C, the applicant is Attorney Charles Tyler, Sr., on behalf of McLean Kelker. Location of the applicant property is 919 Wilbur Avenue, Barber, Ohio. They are appealing the denial of the zoning compliance letter. That was issued by the Barberton Planning Department. 919 Wilbur Avenue is zoned as traditional residential, and an application for a recording studio at this address was classified as a non-permitted use in this district. So if you would please step to the microphone and explain your appeal in detail.
Thank you. Again, I'm Attorney Charles Tyler, Sr., representing the property owners. On November 18th of 2020, 919 Wilbur Avenue, Barberton, Ohio, was listed for sale by Keller Williams Realty. The listing stated that the property location was the former location of the dance factory, dance studio, which was in business at that location for more than 38 years. On May 10th, 2021, I Rebuild Homes purchased the 919 Wilbur Avenue, Barberton property. The property was purchased as a commercial property and was advertised in the real estate listing. A search of the Summit County Fiscal Officer website shows that the 919 Wilbur Avenue property land use code is 499C. Other commercial structures in the class is C commercial. The effective year built structure code shows 353 office building LR1-4S. An improvement name shows the dance factory. A letter sent on October 1st, 2025 to the property of 919 Wilbur from the city of Barberton was addressed Dear Non-Residential Water Customer. The property has always been a commercial property, has always been allowed to operate as a commercial property. All official documents on the property filed with Summit County, the city of Barberton, all show it as commercial property. For 38 years, the dance factory operated out of 919 Wilbur without any interference from the city of Barberton. On April 20th, 2026, we received the denial. We filed the appeal. Basically, we're asking for similar to what happened with your city ordinance 128-2019 that was passed December 9th, 2019, where people came before this body asking that in a residential, a traditional residential area, that there would be a spot zoning for the commercial use of that property that the ordinance passed in December 9, 2019. When my client purchased the property 6 years ago, they've invested a lot of money. It wasn't until 2026 that somebody came and said, hey, oh, you're breaking our rules. There's nothing in the county and the city that would notify anybody this is an inappropriate use for that property. So to say to someone who's invested thousands of dollars, plus traditionally your city have allowed that particular place to operate as a commercial building and for commercial purposes, would be unfair and unjust, and would ask you that this body would make the recommendation to council for rezoning a spot zoning to allow them to use for the purpose that was purchased.
Okay, thank you, sir. Is there anybody else that is sworn in that would like to speak on behalf of this hearing? Yes, former councilman Heidi.
Thank you.
Yep.
The ordinance which this gentleman refers to, 128-2019, I'm sure it's not in front of anybody. It was, oddly enough, the only reason I remember is it was passed 2 days before I was sworn in the first time, because I was sworn in December 11th. That ordinance, there was an argument made by Mr. Evans saying the building that houses Magic Sub and Gyro currently, because Castle Pizza had lapsed for so long, it had reverted to residential RM18. That building, the council had argued that it was
not feasible for somebody to be able to tear that building down, tear the parking lot up, and build housing on it, given the scope of what was there, plus the infrastructure underneath. I've been by that place being referenced now many times, and I personally look at it as the same way. In order, if that were to be residential, who is going to put the money in to tear down that building, tear up the parking lot, redo the infrastructure, water line, sewer, to build a house there? If this isn't allowed to continue as a business, which I've been told is a recording studio, I'm not sure if anybody's been to a recording studio, but the whole purpose of the recording studios inside are soundproof. They don't want outside noise or the noise getting out of the building. I firmly believe this would be a proper use given the scope of what the business is and the ramifications if it can't be used for that. We're going to have another decaying building that nobody's going to invest in tearing down, ripping up the piping, installing new piping, and building a house. You saw with the Oakdale property how long that sat before somebody would actually build a house. Imagine a small parcel that a commercial building once sat. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that is sworn in that would like to speak on behalf of this hearing? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to close the public portion of this hearing, and I will entertain questions, comments from the board. So at this time, are there any questions or comments from the board? Yes, Ms. Carter.
So the first time you were made aware that this was not a commercial building was when they sent you something from the water department?
No. Well, when the water department sent their letter, it confirmed what we thought. It was a commercial building because it says theater non-residential customers. So that was confirmation of what my client was thinking.
Yes, Ms.
So are you guys asking for this to be rezoned?
Yes.
Pretty much, okay. Because I know that this has been a business for over 30-something years because it was the dance factory. My daughter actually went to the dance factory, and it was owned and operated as a business, commercial business.
So let's be very clear. We're not asking for a rezoning because that's something completely separate.
What are we asking for?
So I'm going to explain that. So when a property is being utilized as something, so the dance studio can continuously be there for 100 years as long as it doesn't stop operating. If it was built and, you know, zoning had changed. So the dance studio is operating in a residential district as a dance studio because it had been established before our current zoning went into place. So you run into a time frame where that dance studio left and the property then becomes vacant for a period of time. Our code says if a property is vacant for 6 months or longer, it reverts back to that zoning. That zoning right now is residential. So I understand that the dance studio and the music studio are very similar, right? So you can justify allowing the use to continue. However, if you guys do allow the use to continue, I would just ask that a new zoning compliance application be filled out, because we were made aware of this business by a complaint from, I think, maybe a neighbor or somebody driving by saying, oh, hey, I think there's a new business here. All new businesses are required to comply with current zoning laws, file the certificate of zoning compliance application, which they did not do. So if approved tonight, I just ask that you require them to fill out a new certificate of zoning compliance application and list the proper owner on that application with permission from the owner to continue to operate as a music studio. Does that make sense? And I will make this as a fact. What the Summit County Fiscal Office has a property listed as does not match, ever will ever match, what current city zoning or local zoning is. They don't do it. They base it off tax purposes and what the building was originally built as and how it originally was being used as. So originally it was built as commercial and it was being used as commercial. Unless somebody calls and says, hey, this is no longer commercial, it's this, the county will continue to tax you that way. It doesn't always match up to city or local zoning.
And while I appreciate the explanation, but if someone purchased a property in your city and they receive a letter from your city that says, dear non-residential customer, that's not Summit County. So someplace in your city should be a change so that when they get mail, it would say, dear residential, not non-residential.
Yeah, I can't.
So there's mixed communication coming from many situations, and I don't think my client is to be blamed because he couldn't find no place in the city or Summit County that it was residential. So even if there's a change, people should be able to find these things because purchasing, whether it's residential property or commercial, people should have enough information to make an informed decision. And again, I don't think my client had enough information to make an informed decision to make enough purchase.
Any other questions, comments, discussion? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion. Yes, Mr. Abel.
I'll make a motion that we approve the appeal for this purpose.
Okay, so a motion was made by Mr. Abel to approve the appeal. Do I have a second? How about we second and then we can amend?
Fine. I'll second.
Okay. So a motion was made by Mr. Avant. Motion was seconded by Mr. Haskell. Do we have final remarks? Well, Mr. Haskell, if you would like to
amend that the appeal was based upon filing the paperwork to have it established as a commercial property.
I'm going to defer to Ms. Carr just to make sure that we're using the proper wording.
Can we just amend it to read that they will fill out and update a certificate of zoning compliance application with all of the required information for the property owner and the business?
What she said is what I think she said.
Thank
yes,
you.
Well, fill out the paperwork.
Okay, so motion was made by Mr. Avant and amended by Mr. Haskell to read that the variance is approved with the filing of the proper paperwork for the zoning compliance with the owner information. Okay, is that understood? Okay, are there any final remarks? Clerk, please call roll.
Terry Avant?
Yes.
Aaron Smith?
Yes.
Antoinette James Carter?
Yes.
James Haskell?
Yes.
The yeas have it. It is unanimous. Your appeal has been approved.
Thank you.
Okay. Hearing D. Applicant is Mr. Gary Neffinger. Location is 247 Herman Street, Barberton, Ohio. He is appealing an unfit for human occupancy letter dated June 3rd, 2026 at 247 Herman Street for no electric as well as several other code violations. Mr. Neffinger, can you please step to the microphone and explain your appeal in detail?
Yes. The property had the electric was disconnected on April 29th, and power just was reestablished today. So power is up, and the other issue regarding the camper that was in the backyard that has been sold. We also another issue was we had crossed with a nonprofit, and there were a lot of homeless outreach, and we have ceased and desisted taking in homeless people. We're still working with the food ministry, giving away furniture, et cetera, which is also part of the other issue, which was accumulation. I know I've been in communication with Matt to that regard. So we're keeping, you know, storage, keeping items off and just going back to being residential. We're also in the process of transitioning away from Crossroads, Ohio, working with the state. I have some conversations going with them actually this week to dissolve Crosswinds and turn that back to residential, and turn our outreach into working with some other organizations, and just make it a house. And I know there's been, no doubt, some frustrations, for sure, some neighbors, and that's justifiable. Let's just face it. We've got, you got accumulation, and there was a lot of activity there, especially this winter, in early spring, because an individual that's, could have been helping it, it was a big cluster mess, to be honest. And now temporary power is established. In fact, and the good news is now their refrigerator is getting turned on and drying out basements, which, just getting back to some normalcy here.
Is there anybody else that would like to speak on behalf of this hearing? Go ahead and step forward, yeah. Sir.
My name is Kevin Bagging. I have lived at 261 Herman Street for 4 years now, this past spring. Since I have moved in, there has been nothing but problems with this property. There's been drug activity, cars leaving 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 a.m. all through the night. I worry leaving my girlfriend at home. What I'm going to see next from this property, there is not a single inch of grass that you can, well, they got cleaned up now since they've been given multiple citations from the city, but for almost all of the 4 years now, there has not been a single inch of the grass that you can see that has not been stacked up with trash, random items that they collect from I don't know where, and let's also get into the amount of random animals that are always at this property, climbing in the property, out the property. The door is usually wide open. Every single window in the house is wide open. The water was shut off. The electric was shut off. The animals, I've seen mouses to rats. I've seen it all from this property. This has been going on for, like I said, the whole entire 4 years that I've lived at my address. May through June, the cops were at this property twice a day for numerous amounts of citations that have been given. This property has been nothing but problems. It brings down the value of the neighborhood. It's the house that you drive by in the neighborhood and to take a look at. I've also seen the trash spewing into the road. I had to ask police officers to go to that address and have them remove the trash from the road. There was a smashed watermelon in the road, smashed fruit, meat all over the road. The trash is spewing everywhere. Thank you for your time on this matter.
Anyone else that would like to speak on behalf of this hearing?
Yes, sir.
Please step forward.
Yes, my name is Jim Miller. I'd kind of like to reiterate what Mr. Kevin said. I live directly across 250 Herman Street. I met my wife 5 years ago. We've been in that property 5 years. It has been nothing but a nuisance since day one. I'm talking yelling and screaming. I'm talking police morning, noon, and night. I'm talking garbage thrown in my front yard. I'm very upset about it. And I'm not very good at public speaking, but it's just really terrible. I wouldn't wish that on any of you. Now maybe there's a chance to get a little bit of correction. Anything you can do to help us return our neighborhood to just happy. People ride their bikes up and down the road. They stop and just look at the house, their house, not mine. Cars stop and look and go, we have people that live like that. And again, as Kevin said, it looks good now. And it will for another couple weeks until we get back to normal and nobody's looking at it. And then the garbage will come back in. I've seen 8 trash cans sitting out there for the collection agency. They didn't even take it all a couple weeks ago because He was out there probably 20 minutes loading up the garbage. And we have to look at that. So I'm imploring you. Again, the police are out there 2, 3, 4 times. They were out there last night. You know, we really need your help of doing something to give us some peace and relief. I thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, I was going to say, is anybody else sworn in that would like to say something?
Just something I forgot to bring up as well.
I'm not sure if you guys are all familiar with that intersection, Herman and Madison, but there's also apartments and the neighborhoods, tight-knit houses everywhere. I have seen individuals come to this property on foot from the surrounding houses, apartments. They kind of walk in the driveway. They scour around looking at everything. Again, there's a lot to see. I've seen them picking items up and then walking back to the apartment or house that they came from. I've also seen them come to the house and drop items off, right? And then, leave again. I'm not sure what's going on there. It might have something to do with the cars coming all hours of the night. But I have seen, they're not even there. I've seen cars and people coming and going. It's almost like a hotspot drop zone, if you would. There's some type of exchange going on for a couple of the surrounding apartments, houses, cars. There's something going on there. Again, just something I forgot to bring up that I just really wanted to.
Is there anyone else that is sworn in that would like to speak on behalf of this matter?
I'm sorry, I have something myself.
Okay, yep.
Can I? Something I didn't bring up again, I've only been married 2 years to my new wife. We're both retired. We've been there 5 years, as I said earlier. And I'm afraid for her safety. I make sure that the front door, when I leave, the front door is locked. The female that lives there, when I first started dating my wife, we hear a banging noise on our back door. It's his wife, doped out of her mind, asking for help. This was my introduction to our neighbors. And so I am in fear for her life. She has been trained how to protect herself in various manners. But we don't leave the garage door open when I'm not there. When I'm there, I'm okay. But I fear for her safety. I mean, it's really gotten that bad. It's been worse. So, again, I thank you for your help.
All right. Anyone else?
Yeah. Gary? I would concur about the activity at the house. The house, we were not permitted to stay at the house from June 3rd. Well, actually, in the power out from 9 to morning. Very much aware about traffic at that house in terms of things coming and going. There's a storage units, and there's a lot of theft, because I'm telling you, there was, in terms of drug usage in that neighborhood, that section, I'm really not going to speak about that other than that the activities that we've seen. And I've done some tests. When I say tests, it's like leaving some low-hanging fruit, and I've seen stuff circulate that I knew was theft. And in fact, I'm also a forensic engineer, and somebody asked me last night, I have notebooks, I have specific things with items, and I'm happy to work with our neighbors to do what? Make it a place where we can just, be there. In terms of an emotional breakdown, the good news is, between the online recovery app and in terms of working on personal recovery, everybody's recovering from something. Chris has just come later that on with an incident. I agree about the activity. In fact, I welcome more regular traffic with police vehicles through there just to make sure. But it took a minute. Law of diminishing returns. Now that the lights are on and even the place security cameras back up today. But I concur about the safety issues. There we go. So thank you.
Anyone else sworn in to speak on behalf of this?
I don't mean to drag this on, but I really need to reflect that a little bit. Can I? No.
You've got 60 seconds.
60 seconds. I can do it in 30.
Okay.
I don't know if you're able to ask, I'll just call him Gary, ask him who's been convicted. I'm not saying him. Ask him about the neighborhood, who's got a police list this long and has been convicted of numerous crimes.
All right, at this time I'm going to go ahead and close the public portion of this hearing. There may be questions from the board. I will now entertain any questions, discussion from the board. Mr. Smith?
So, in our agenda, it says, for no electric as well as several other code violations, but I don't see a listing of those code violations.
Did I not put that in there?
I don't see it, unless I missed it.
No, I actually might not put that in there. If you want a copy for me to read, it's not much.
Okay.
It's trash debris accumulations, no electric, parking the yard, property declared a nuisance, the extension cord's running there, which was why this all started, and then it's just unfit for no electric. Which I, Gary, I drove by this afternoon. I didn't see it on. So unless you can prove it, on the bill or.
Yeah, I can. I can prove that.
You got a picture of your meter or tag on it.
Picture of the meter.
I'll show the board the picture.
Yeah, next to me, two pictures there of the house as well. Here's the.
Mr. Neffinger, so in my packet here, so from July 6th, I have a letter declaring the property a nuisance with, it looks like there was a $100 fee. Was that fee paid?
I wasn't aware of that. The fee, I didn't take care of that today. Yeah, we didn't know that. In fact, I haven't received that. We haven't received that. Well, there would be a reason we didn't receive that letter. Number one, well, actually, we haven't received that letter.
Like a like I said, I mean, it was addressed to Representative Crossman, Ohio, on June 3rd, pursuant to Ohio ordinance, or to ordinance number 8420-2006, nuisance law, the property at 247 Herman was declared a nuisance due to three or more nuisance activities occurring at this location during the prior calendar year. At this time, you're mailed a copy of this determination. So, I mean, that would have came at the beginning of the month. I don't know. Again, it was a letter that was so I just was curious if you had a chance to look into that. Mr. Pulliam, you said that you were by the property today.
Yeah.
I mean, accumulations.
Just like the dude that spoke to his neighbor, he cleans it up and then.
Okay. So has there been an interior inspection done of the home?
No. But I would need to verify the budget. Because I didn't see it on the library. Which is, you know, the oldest I presented.
Mr. Smith?
So, I just wanted to comment. So, the appeal looks like it's just for the violations cited, and that we would just grant that they're not cited. Am I reading this appeal?
It would have been denied. Which he claims he's got it corrected.
Repair time frame box is not checked.
I can't verify that.
So, that's. Like, from my viewpoint, this document is asking us to negate the citation for the violations.
I don't have that document. I don't know if it wasn't included in my packet, or was it that I missed it? Is it in the...
It's like the very back page. Yeah.
There you go. Your appeal for request.
Issues. Something house is safe for occupants.
Well, can I make a suggestion on how to vote? I don't know if I can. I would say, in my opinion, to deny the appeal. Because I have not seen if the electric's on. If it's on tomorrow, then this case is over. Everything's abated. But if not, then it's good. That's pretty much that.
So denying the appeal, and then so all violations that you're aware of have been abated. Minus the electric being turned on. How do we assure that this doesn't happen again, Mr. Neffinger?
Number one, no homeless occupancy within the house, working with other agencies like friends and tenants and making referrals in terms of food pickups, etc. We deliver food, by the way, if anyone needs food, we deliver. And we are taking a step back from the front of a nonprofit to focus on engineering in terms of effective payments. Engineering and just taking a step back and let someone else run an organization for a minute. And that was a little bit of a It was a big decision. It opened that back up down the road and up on some other organizations. It takes a toll. When we help people, whether it's at a festival or at your house, it can be emotionally taxing. And we're looking forward to it is a black neighborhood in general. And we were definitely it was a challenge. And it was a challenge but you can verify the electorate tomorrow. So thank you.
Any more comments or questions, discussion from the board?
There was mention about,
go ahead, Ms. Rayman.
About a false telephone pole put in to run a phone line. Is that still there?
No, it wasn't. Sure. I believe there was a site to show that. I believe Fred.
He had a power line struck across the street to an adjacent property for electricity. Because of the power, another power pole.
During testimony, I picked up on a couple of things that, quite frankly, concern me from a zoning standpoint. So I will piggyback on what Mr. Coleman said and deny today the variance to, continue this, and then if the electric is on, then we wait and, start over. But it kind of sounds like the planning department may have to pick up where some maybe zoning issues have tipped. That are not appropriate for residential districts.
Any other comments, questions, discussion from the board? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion. Mr. Smith.
I make a motion to approve the appeal.
Okay, so motion by Mr. Smith to approve. Do I have a second? Motion was made to approve the appeal by Mr. Smith, second by Mr. Haskell. Are there any final remarks?
Again, you can place some stipulations on it.
Clerk, please call roll.
Terry Avant?
No.
Aaron Smith?
No.
Antoinette James Carter?
No.
James Haskell?
No.
So your appeal has been denied. Mr. Neffinger, again, Matt, Mr. Pulliam will follow up with the electric. If it's on and all things have been abated, we'll carry out action as necessary. Moving on to hearing E. Right, hearing E, two more. Applicant is Robin Harvey. On behalf of Nicholas Schaefer, the owner, location is at 859 Orchard Avenue. They are appealing a variance, requesting relief from table 1140B, prohibited yard obstructions, pools not permitted in a front, corner, side, or interior side yard. Please step to the microphone and explain your appeal in detail.
We don't have a backyard, and we want to put a pool.
Yeah. We'd like a pool. She'd really like it. But we'd like a pool. And our property at 859 Orchard Avenue, there is no backyard. It's really just kind of an L pattern of lawn where there's a front and then a side portion. There is currently a fence around the property. It's like a, I don't even know what you call it. It's like a, almost like a horse fence kind of thing. There's really not like, it's not keeping anybody out. So, the question would be if we would be able to do something with that, and if so, how far from the road would it need to be? What kind of fence, if a different type of fence, those kind of questions. We just kind of looking for, if we can proceed with putting something.